Pope Francis gave his first annual address to the diplomatic corps credited to the Holy See on Monday. During his speech, he spoke about the need for diplomacy and dialogue to help resolve conflicts. One of the ambassadors attending the speech was the ambassador from the Republic of China on Taiwan, Larry Yuyan Wang. He spoke to us about how dialogue has been improving the relations between Taiwan and mainland China and easing tensions across the Taiwan Straits.
In his first message to the diplomatic corps, Pope Francis is forcefully using the moral authority of his office to call for promotion of encounter. By that exhortation, the Holy Father is encouraging people to reach out, foster dialogue and friendship, and especially to encountering people who are neglected and ignored by the wider world, the so-called last ones. This concept is not new. For example, on December 10, 2013, the Pope made a private visit to the Central Astalli, a Jesuit soup kitchen, to express his support to refugees. On that occasion, he called for people to show greater courage and generosity in welcoming others, who should be embraced rather than feared. I personally visited the Center Astalli in late October 2013 to deliver a donation on behalf of my government in order to support their projects for refugees and provide a tangible contribution in terms of human fraternity and solidarity, following the teachings of Pope Francis, who has put both the poor and the immigrants at the heart of his papacy. In his address, the Holy Father indicates the path of dialogue and diplomacy as the ways to solve open questions, especially in light of conflicts and dispute which are taking place all over the world. As the Pope indicated specifically with a few examples, I completely agree with Pope Francis in this respect. As Pope John Paul II has stated, by dialogue, we let God be present in our midst. For as we open ourselves to one another, we open ourselves to God. Constructive dialogue is fundamental for peace building. Pope Francis then turned his attention to the various threats to peace, such as religious intolerance, which turns into violence and forces people to leave their homes, thus becoming refugees. This is not what is happening in Taiwan, where people enjoy widespread religion freedom, a right guaranteed by its constitution. All religions are equal in front of law, and they are not special privileges granted to anyone in particular. Consequently, Taiwan is a melting pot of religions, influenced by a Chinese cultural heritage, European and Japanese colonialism, and faiths from other parts of the world. They are all fused with the democracy, freedom, and prosperity of the country. Furthermore, religion activity is intense, and interreligious dialogue is thriving in Taiwan. As far as Catholics are concerned, today there are 300,000 Catholics in Taiwan and seven dioceses. Although the Catholic Church is not so big in numbers, she has been praised for the charitable works and initiatives carried out in the island, which have gained her tremendous respect by people regardless of their religion or faith. Many missionaries have chosen to stay in Taiwan for a lifetime because they consider it as their native country. According to Pope Francis, the denial of human dignity, particularly a lack of adequate nutrition, represents another threat to peace. He turns his attention to the poorest and the most vulnerable people, the children. He states that we cannot remain indifferent to those suffering from hunger. I cannot agree more with the Holy Father. I believe it is our duty to help people in difficulty to regain their human dignity. I would like to share with you a recent example of Taiwan's love and prompt assistance towards the needy. On November 8, 2013, Typhoon Haiyan swept across the central Philippines, causing more than 6,000 deaths and resulting in displacement of nearly 11 million people. My government, Republic of China and Taiwan, has immediately worked closely with non-governmental organizations to provide prompt humanitarian aid and assistance in the reconstruction of the affected areas. Just to give you some numbers, as of early December 2013, the total value of monetary and material donations made by my government, civic groups, and individual citizens had reached more than $12 million. All this is consistent with our President Ma Ying-jeou's vision of my country as a provider of humanitarian aid. In his address to the diplomatic corps, Pope Francis denounces the culture of waste. On June 5th, 2013, during the weekly audience on St. Peter's Square, he's speaking to the faithful people. Francis denounced the excesses of consumerism and food wastage. In particular, he said that throwing away food is like stealing from the table of the poor and the hungry. In Taiwan, we are addressing this issue through the establishment of food banks, that is, material banks, collecting mainly canned and packaged food for redistribution. The banks gets more than 90% of their food from donations. Most of them are products whose expiration date is coming up within a few months. Although they accept cash donation, money is not used to buy any of the kinds of products which are usually donated, such as rice, noodles, canned food, and crackers. In principle, money should be reserved for things that no one donates, such as crutches for the elderly, eyeglasses, diapers, and sanitary napkins. The real spirit of a food bank is not to buy food, but to find food that would have otherwise gone to waste and then distribute it to those who need it. In his address, His Holiness also voices his concern over growing prejudice, which tends to deprive Christians of their liberties and jeopardize civil coexistence, and at the same time hopes for signs of openness from countries of great religious and cultural traditions. We sincerely share his point of view. As a bilateral relationship between the Holy See and the Republic of China on Taiwan have been based for a long time on the common objectives of pursuing the progress of peace, freedom, equality, justice, and human right.
Now, touching on the region, relations with the mainland across the Taiwanese Straits have been steadily improving over the past few years. In fact, when people think of crisis points in Asia, that used to be the first place they'd go to, and now it's not. Can you tell us a little bit about the progress that's been made in that area?
Yes, Mr. Collins. Since our President Ma assumed office as president in 2008, until now, we have already concluded 19 agreements with mainland China in different fields. And also we have had 9 high-level consultations. So now economically or in the trade field, our relations with mainland China is very, very close. I just give you an example. There are about more than 90 daily flights between mainland China and Taiwan. So our airline, several airlines, they fly to China to more than 40 cities. So and very interesting. After midnight, if you go to Taipei to see our international airport, after midnight you can see so many cargo planes landed in Taipei, bring gifts, giving goods to sell to Taiwan, and after they return to China, they also carry all kinds of goods from Taipei to Taiwan to China. So it's very amazing the relations of Taiwan with mainland China in the field of trade and commercial. Politically, I think we were started with a so-called second track to let the private institutions or like civic groups to start it, this deploy some political issues.
What about on a personal level? Many of those planes are carrying people, especially tourists from the mainland to Taiwan. Is that having an effect on your relations, this interpersonal exchange that also happens?
Yes, because Taiwan is such a small island, so we cannot afford too many people to come in one day. So we set a quota. I recall about 2-3 years ago, we set a quota for like 3,000 visitors from mainland China a day, and they can stay for at least 15 days. They have to come in groups and leave in groups. But since last year, we also opened the individuals to visit Taiwan. So if you go to Taipei, you go to especially the National Palace Museum, you can see it's just like in mainland China, the full of the tourists from mainland China. And I can tell you, most of them, after they leave Taiwan, they said they will come back. They have a very good impression of what they have seen in Taiwan, because we are the place we still treasure and reserve the traditional Chinese value and Chinese culture. I can even tell you in Rome, there are also many seminarians and fathers from mainland China who are studying here. They visited Taiwan. They can go there as a tourist. They can stay there for within 15 days. It's very easy. After the return from mainland China, they always told me, "Oh, thank you. For one thing, we reserve the Chinese culture."